Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log. Interviews with the authors and musicians that make Simultaneous Times podcast possible. You've heard the stories and the music. Now hear the stories behind the stories.
Welcome to Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, an interview with Robin Rose Graves. Not much is known about Robin Rose Graves, originally spawned on the post-industrial grounds of Buffalo, New York. Theoretically, she could be a writer and a poet. Previous sightings include The Feminist Wire and Simultaneous Times podcast. If you believe you have witnessed Robin Rose Graves, run, though it may already be too late. All Robin Rose Graves sightings have been recorded on www.robinrosegraves.wordpress.com. Read it so that you might be prepared. What was your first encounter with science fiction, and what inspired you to first create work in the genre?
I think my earliest exposure came with the Twilight Zone. I remember a handful of episodes just absolutely freaked me out as a child. But that was what sci-fi was to me back then, just these kind of hard systemic criticisms of the world around me. So I think it was only natural that my early attempts at sci-fi were all dystopian. I kind of grew up knowing how bad the world around me was, and it left me with this feeling that by the time I was old enough to inherit the Earth, it would already be ruined. So post-apocalypse became an attractive metaphor to me for my depression and anxiety. I got really into reading books like Brave New World by Aldous Huxley and Fahrenheit 451 as a teenager. The first sci-fi piece I wrote was a short story called The After. I wrote it in college for class, and it was heavily inspired by The Road by Cormac McCarthy. It takes place after a complete nuclear destruction of the world, which is a popular concept to me since I truly believe war will only lead to humanity's downfall. Pretty much every short story I was asked to write in college was something apocalypse-based and critical on how humanity has the power over Earth's life or destruction, not some sort of divine intervention. And then my interest in sci-fi changed about 2 years ago. I started getting into space opera after reading Becky Chambers' Wayfarer series. I credit The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet as the inspiration for working on the current book I am writing.
Aside from what you just mentioned, what are some of your favorite science fiction books?
I love Star House 5 by Kurt Vonnegut. I have a habit of only ever reading books once, but I've definitely read that one a few times. I might even name my high school band after a reference from the book. And again, Becky Chambers, Wayfarer series. I can't stress enough how much of an influence she has been on me. And probably my favorite book I've read so far this year was All the Birds in the Sky by Charlie Jane Anders. So that one is more of a sci-fi and fantasy hybrid.
Do you prefer writing poetry or fiction, and why?
I don't think I could choose one over the other. I probably spend more time on fiction because it's a lengthier end product. But I think the skills which I had developed through doing poetry seeped over into my prose. What I really like about poetry is how concise it is. Every single word, punctuation, a lack of punctuation has its purpose. It forces me to slow down and focus on my choices. I appreciate the power of individual words. The process always involves question and word choice. Is there a stronger, more effective word I can use? And also, I love a good metaphor. Metaphors always help me describe things in a less obvious way. Some of the most rewarding comments on my prose from my beta readers are the ones that applaud my unique but effective comparisons.
And you're also a booktuber. Can you tell us a bit about that process and what you do and how you do it?
It's a very self-indulgent project, to be honest. I started because I wanted an outlet to talk about books, even if that outlet is only me yelling into the void that is the internet with no guarantee that anyone was actually going to listen. If anyone ever gets anything out of my quote-unquote unprofessional book reviews, I hope they get introduced to a new book that means something to them. I know a lot of people in my age group, fresh out of school, no longer forced to read books for education, have a hard time finding things they want to read. It's something I experienced myself after I graduated college. I found myself wanting to read, but anything I picked up just didn't click, and I had a hard time finishing books that I started. The synopsis on the back of a book only does so much. When I do these reviews, a lot of the positive aspects I point out are the details that would personally sell me on the book. In a way, the intended audience is kind of, well, me. Like, maybe I've got a clone out there that who's still struggling to find some good books to read, and hopefully someday the videos will reach her. Either that, or hopefully I'll reach like-minded individuals. But they're less of a review and more of like a conversation on the things I've read. Why I chose the book, a brief description of what it's about, the things I liked, and because I have to be an annoyingly critical reader, the weakest points of the books as well. I don't create with the intent of getting a response, but if someone views a video and takes it as a challenge to dispute my thoughts, that would be pretty cool, I guess. Anyway, I try to keep a variety of the books I review, from children's chapter books to even erotica. Most are sci-fi because that's what I like. I've made a distinct effort to read more female authors and works that include diversity as well.
Why do you think it is that some of the younger generations have a hard time connecting and finding the books that they would enjoy?
I think technology probably has a impact on it, because now books have to compete with easy to stream videos and video games and all this very shiny, attractive stuff that I think people my age tend to get attracted to. And I know myself, even, like, I love video games and all that stuff, but I have noticed I need to take a break from them sometimes and just disconnect from the internet and social media and just be in my own space. And that's why I still choose to read books and why reading books has been such an important aspect of my life. But I think, yeah, like I said, it's just hard for people to disconnect from their phones and social media and find these books.
What do you see as themes that will become increasingly important in science fiction?
I've been so pleased to discover how much quality representation of minorities are in more modern releases. It's a beautiful thing, really, that anything that strays from a cast of characters entirely made up of straight white cis men. I think sci-fi has always been about challenging norms, so it's such a natural part of the genre to feature these futures that are so inclusive or tell tales of people who are often overlooked. It's something I strive to do as well in my writing, as well as I think heading into the future of literature and other media. I think it's going to become the new norm, hopefully, if we're heading the right direction, that is. But I also think sci-fi is about imagining better worlds and futures, or with dystopia, the opposite, and serving as cautionary tales. It's about pointing out the flaws of society.
And tell us a bit about your work outside of the podcast and any upcoming projects you'd like to talk about.
I don't think I'm the only person who has been having a hard time planning ahead right now thanks to Miss Corona. So I don't have any specific timeline. I was originally planning on releasing a poetry zine for September when my city does a zine fair, and I was originally planning on tabling with my girlfriend, China D. Simone, who is doing the illustrations for it. However, I'm hoping to bump up the release date to either next month or the month after, just however long it takes me to get through the dreadful process of editing. Needless to say, it's going to be a self-published work. I've chosen to title it The Muse, and it's a collection of poetry all about love and loss and abuse and self-harm and self-hatred. Just a real grab bag of experiences of mine. And also I'm working on my first draft of what I hope will be my first full-length novel, sci-fi of course, and of the space opera genre. I'm really excited about it. I've always wanted to write a novel, and thanks to no longer having a social life, I've had time to sit down and try to crank it out. The working title is The Leviathan, though I think I might change the name by the final draft. It's about humans living in an alien city, about 200 years after Earth became depleted of resources, and humanity, for the most part, left it behind. Two of the main themes I explore are cooperating with individuals who are different from yourself, and also that technology isn't inherently evil, but it's what people choose to do with it.
You just heard Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, an interview with Robin Rose Graves, with music by Red Blue Black Silver. Simultaneous Times is a monthly science fiction podcast going live on the 15th of each month. And now, Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, interviews with the authors and musicians of the podcast, going live on the 1st of every month. Theme music by Dane Lescombe. Be sure to visit us at our bookstore in Joshua Tree, California, or at spacecowboybooks.com. And out now, Simultaneous Times Volume 1, paperback science fiction anthology, available on our website and on Lulu. Get in touch on Instagram and Twitter. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. And now a word from other fellow Joshua Tree podcasters.
Are you looking for a new way to think and transform? Tune into Myth Matters, a biweekly podcast of storytelling and conversation about mythology and why it's important to life today. Find a more creative way to live. Learn more at mythicmojo.com and keep the mystery in your life alive.
Have you ever wondered why people live in the desert? I'm Dawn Davis, and I host Desert Lady Diaries podcast. It's a weekly conversation with women who found their home in the Mojave Desert. Each week, I talk to women who were either born and raised in the desert or felt called to come here and what the desert means to them. You can learn more about the podcast and listen at DesertLadyDiaries.com.
We live in a very weird place. A dry and mountainous land of poisonous creatures and desert monsters, missing tourists, and strange lights in the sky. Join us every Friday at 10 p.m. for a late-night voyage across the mysterious Mojave Wilderness on KCDZ 107.7.
Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.